Okay, good night and good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Pei Vav. We are holding on Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis in Mevi'in Lo Mi Beis Hazvalim at the very end of the page, on the last line of the page on Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Ashalom, the Neshama, should have an aliyah. So what we're talking about today is, first we're going to identify what this type of oil is that we mentioned in the Mishnah called Anpaktan, and we're also going to resolve a stira, whether it is kosher b'dievet to use. And then the Mishnah is going to talk about, on Amud Aleph, how to produce oil for the menachos and for the menorah. It's going to talk about three different harvests from each tree and how each harvest produced three different types of oil. The Gemara is going to talk about whether they would pick each olive as it ripened, or they would wait for all of them to ripen before picking, or at least all of that set of olives. There were three sets from each tree, but whether they would pick them all at one time, or they would wait and do them one by one. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about the ranking, the quality of the three sets of three types of shemen, and the Gemara is going to talk about how we know that you need a higher quality shemen for menorah than we do for menachos. The Gemara is going to talk about why we need a higher quality shemen for menorah than for menachos. The Mishnah talks about where we learn it from, meaning it's counterintuitive. You would think that which gets eaten should be a higher quality than that which you use for fuel to light the menorah. Once we're talking about using shemen to light the menorah, the Gemara is going to bring a number of proofs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really need our light. He is the provider of light. He is not the recipient of light. And then the Mishnah at the end of the daf that goes into tomorrow's daf is going to change the discussion from shemen to yayin, meaning we already discussed soles, now we're discussing shemen, and then we're going to discuss yayin, all the different things that they need for the nesachim in the Beis HaMikdash, where they would get it, what the highest quality was, and what was kosher, what was not kosher, all of those things. So let's begin. Last line of the page on daf, Pei Hei Amud Beis. Ein Mevi'in Lo Mi Beis HaZvalim. So we said that they're not allowed to bring Mi Beis HaZvalim, but V'chulei, we also said they're not allowed to bring Anpaktan. But the Mishnah said, if you do bring Anpaktan, whatever that may be, it's a type of oil, it will at least be kosher. So says Gemara V'atanya, Ein Mevi'in Anpaktan. The Brisa says not to bring it, V'mei V'pasul. But the Brisa says not only not to bring it, but if you do use it, it's going to be pasul. Mipnei Shu Saraf, because we don't even view that as oil. We view it as just some sap that comes out of the fruit, but it's not really shemen at all. So apparently it's a stira between our Mishnah and this Braisa, whether shemen and paktan b'di'eved is going to be kosher l'menachos. It's certainly l'chadchila not, but whether b'di'eved it's kosher. So answer Gemara, I'm Rav Yosef lo kasha, ha Rabbi Chia, ha Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi, that very simply the Braisa, it says that shemen and paktan is possible, even b'di'eved is going like Rabbi Chia, who does not think it's shemen at all, whereas the Mishnah that says that it's kosher with the evidence seems like Rabbi Shimon Barabi, who thinks that it is shemen. Where do we find that they disagree about this? Rabbi Chia Zarikle. Rabbi Chia would throw it out. If he had the shemen on paktan, he would not eat it at all. He didn't. Tosus points out not lav dafka. They would actually throw it out. Kolomer loya ochlo avalo zorek mamish de sachnoso shemeshes aseir ma'adin es habasar. He wouldn't throw it out. That would be wasteful. It would still be useful for something. They would use it to rub on their skin and to as a hair remover and to make their skin soft, but he wouldn't eat it. That was the point, that he wouldn't eat it. Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi mitabalde, Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi would dip his bread in it. They would dip bread in oil, and he therefore viewed it as oil. Apparently they would dip filu pamachas, right? He would dip his bread in the oil, and the simenayich, and the simen to remember which of the gedolei achachamim would dip their bread in this oil, in this low quality oil, and which would never eat this low quality oil is ashirim mekamtzin, that rich people are much more stingy with how they spend their money. So Rabbi Shimon was very wealthy. He was the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and he was willing to use this low quality oil because he didn't want to waste it. Whereas people who were less wealthy would never use it because it was too low a quality for them. The Maral in the Siva Solem discusses, he says, it's a pella. Why would it be that Ashirum Bimakamtsin? Why not? You have it, so why not spend? What do you have the money for if you're not going to spend it at least for things that improve your quality of life, for things that taste better, for things that are better? So the Maral explains that the Ashir has the Midas HaAshirus, meaning Ashirus is not just something that happens to a person, that a person is poor or becomes poor, becomes wealthy. No, Ashirus is a Mida that's Tavua in the Nefesh of a person. And because of that, when one has that Mida of Ashirus, he desires Ashirus. He's yearning for Ashirus. But the flip side of that is he's never satiated with the level of Ashirus that he has. Because Ashirus is not like Chachma and other Milos that a person has can be satiated with, that a person can have a satisfaction with. Osher is something that's separate from the person, and therefore it's not Shaykh to have Sviya, meaning most other things, most other Midos are part of you. Ashirus is outside of you. And because it's outside of you, one is never Soveya with the Ashirus that he has. So since the Ashir is never Soveya with the money, Mishayesh Lamana, Ratzim Asayim, he's never going to be satiated with the money that he has. He's always going to be looking for ways to make more money and more money and more money. Why? What does he need it for? His grandchildren aren't even going to need the money. Because it's just the nature. The nature is that's what he does. That he wants more money, and therefore he's going to go stingy on his oil. Now Rashi explains in the Ksav Yad that Kamtsan means Atzran. It means that he stores things up. He doesn't throw things out. It's like he hoards things, and that's what the Lashon of Kamtsan is. And the Sivus HaKodesh just points out that if the siman that Rabbi Shimon is the one that dipped his bread in the oil is because Ashirim are cheap with the oil, L'chor, it's not a raya that because Rabbi Shimon dipped his bread since he considered it to be oil, meaning it shouldn't be a riot that Rabbi Shimon dipped his bread because he considered it to be oil. Maybe he dipped his bread even though he didn't consider it to be oil because he was a Kamtsan. So how's the Sifas HaKodesh wonders how this is a riot to what the Gemara was just saying. The Gemara said that there is this machlokes, is it oil or is it not oil? And we said, oh, it's a machlokes Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Barabi. But once we make this simon where we explain that the reason Rabbi Shimon Barabi would use it was not because he held it was oil. It's because he was cheap. He was trying to save every penny that he could. So he was using imitation oil. He was using something that wasn't oil. So mainly we have no proof anymore that Rabbi Shimon's Shita is that it's in fact considered oil. Okay, so the Gemara now discusses Shisha Chadashim B'Shemen Amar. It says in Megillas Esther, 6 months in the Shemen Amar, that the Besulos would anoint themselves, the Besulos who came to Achashverosh would anoint themselves for 6 months in Shemen Amar. My Shemen Amar, what is Shemen Amar? Rav Huna bar Chiya Amar Satachsa. It's Shemen Aparsimon. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba Amar Shemen Zayish Shlo Evishlish. Shemen Amar is Shemen from an olive that has not ripened, it has not grown to one third of its growth. The Ein Elio wonders why we have to have a machlokas about the taich of Shemen Amar. L'chora, there's no nafkamina lahalacha whatsoever. Who cares what Shemen Hamar was? They used it, whatever it was that they used. How does it have any impact on the halacha? So the Ein Elio says there is an impact on the halacha. If a person takes an edah from Shemen Hamar, I need to know what he means, because he's clearly using the lashon of the Megillah. So he intends to take a neder against that which the Megillah identifies. It's always the easy nafkamina when you can't find nafkamina la'alacha. Is he taking a neder from this thing? Oh, good. So that's what the neder is about or not about. L'chara, the kasha is a pella. What kind of kasha is that? You want to teach a pasuk. So the nafkamina is, do you know how to learn or do you not know how to learn? Meaning, what's the meaning of the pasuk? So we're not asking some secondary detail in a story that's not recorded in Tanakh. This is in Tanakh. It's a word in Tanakh. So you want to know the word in Tanakh. Okay, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and Piknon Shemen Zayish Lo Evishlish. Then on Piknon is Shemen Zayish Lo Evishlish. Lama Sachno. So Why would they anoint their skin with it? Shemesher Saseir Ma'adina Sabasar. It had certain qualities that were very useful. It was good for hair removal and it was good for softening the skin. Ein Mavin Minagargrin Shanoshu B'mayim. Then the Mishnah went on to say that we don't bring from gargarin, from olives that were soaked in water or kvashim or shlukim, and if you did, then they're going to be pasul. So Gemara brings a brisa that tells us other types of shemen that you're not supposed to bring menachos from. Tan Rabbanan, shemen zayis kavush, if it was pickled, it was soaked in vinegar or salt. Shaluk, if it was cooked in water. Sharui, if it was soaked in water. Vishal shemarim, or oil that came from the sediment of shemen zayis. Shal reyach ra, shemen zayis that has an awful smell. Lo yavi, you're not supposed to use that for menachos. Vim hevi pasul, and if you do use it for a mincha, it's going to be pasul. You're going to need to bring another carbon mincha because the carbon mincha that came from that was invalid. The reason for the psul, the Sifri writes, is we learn from the fact that it says by the mincha satamid that it's blula b'shemen kasis. So we're memait that you're not supposed to bring shemen from zaysim that are shlukim for menachos. And the reason is by shemen shereach ra, the Tashmi says it's considered like a balmum, and that's going to be pretty clear in the Gemara. It's a siman that the shemen is, something's wrong with the shemen when it smells bad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into the Bria that when things become bad, they smell bad. So it's a warning system for people that when something is rotten, so it starts to smell rotten. By Rabbi, Hikdishu Maushi Ilkalav Mishum Balmum. What if a person was makdish one of these types of shmanim that you're not supposed to use for menachos? Do you get malchus for using it because it's a balmum? So given the pasul kebalmum dummy, do we say, well, since it's pasul, that means it's like a balmum? It's like being makdish a behema that's a balmum. Odilna in balmum el behema, or maybe the psul of a balmum is only shaykh by a behema, and it's not shaykh by other things. We already asked this by other items, by wheat. So take the Gemara says that we leave that unresolved. We do not know. Okay, so now the Mishnah outlines how they would harvest the olives from which they would get the shemen, and how each tree would have three different yields or three different harvests, and and within each one, it yielded three different types of shemen. So shlosha zeisim hein. There were three different times in the year where they would pick olives off of the trees, and because they didn't all ripen at the same time. Uvahen shlosha shlosha shemanim. And each of the three different times that they picked olives off of the trees, they produced three sets of olive oil. Hazayis harishon, the first time they would pick the olives off of the trees, megargro brosh hazayis, they would pick the gargrim at the very top of the tree. The olives that were growing at the very top of the tree, they were the ones that had the most sun exposure, and therefore they would ripen the quickest of all of them. The kotesh, and they would crush them, menosin l'toch hasal, and then they would put them in a basket, the oil would flow out of them, and the underneath the sal there was a kli, there was a bowl to catch all of the shemen. The basket had holes in it, so the oil would flow through. So it went from the zesim, it would be strained by the bottom of the basket, and then it would land in a kli that was underneath the basket. Rabbi Yehuda Omer svivos hasal. They wouldn't put it at the bottom of the basket. They would put it on the walls of the basket, and then the shemen would flow down to the bottom of the basket and also get strained through the bottom of the basket. And in this way, they would also get rid of the shemarim, of the sediment of the shemen as well, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that not to put it in the bottom of the basket, because the straining at the bottom of the basket would be a combination still of shemen and the shemarim that came out of the zesim, and the shemen would not be clear. It would be cloudy shemen. So instead they would put it on the defanos of the basket, because then the shmarim would stick to the defanos, and then the bottom of the basket would strain out the mamashus that was left in. So you'd actually have not just liquidy shemen, but clear liquid shemen when they would utilize both the sides of the basket where the shmarim would stick, and the bottom of the basket which would strain it out. Ze rishon. That's the shemen that would come out in that way. That was the first the first group. Chazar, then they would take more shemen out of the olives, v'toin bakora, by pressing a beam on top of those olives. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, no, they would not use a beam because it's too heavy and it's going to take out the shemarim as well, and it's not going to produce nice oil. So rather, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ba'avanim, they would use stones that were not quite as heavy and therefore would leave the shemarim inside. Zesheni, and that would be the second yield from that first crop. Chazar v'tachan, then they would grind it up, v'ta'an, and they would again put a beam on it, zeshlishi, and that was the third yield from that first crop. Now, harishon l'menorah, the first yield was for the menorah, because that was shemen zayis zach, that was the purest oil, v'ashar l'menachos, and the rest of the oil that came out of that first crop was for menachos. Now, hasheni, the second crop that they would get off of an olive tree was a megar. They would pick the olives that were about the height of a rooftop, meaning not all the way at the top of the tree, also not at the bottom of the tree, about the height of the rooftop. So it had a little more sun exposure than the bottom olives and less sun exposure than the top olives, would therefore take a little bit longer to ripen. They would crush them and put them into a basket, on the bottom of the basket, so that it would strain through. Once again says, not at the bottom of the basket, on the sides of the basket, so that the shmarim would be removed and before it would strain through. Zer Rishon, and that was the first yield from this second crop. Toin Bakora, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ba'avanim. So they then press it with a beam, but Rabbi Yehuda says, not a beam, that's too heavy, instead with stones. Zesheni, and that was the second yield from this second crop. Chazar V'tachan, and then they would grind it up. V'ta'an, and then they would again press it down. Zeshlishi, and that was the third yield from the second crop. Harishon the menorah, the first yield from the second crop would be able to be used for the menorah as well. Vashar the menachos, and the second and third yield from the second crop they would use for Karmelos Mincha. Shlishi, then it would come time for the third crop, for the third time they would take olives from the tree, and that was Otno. They would take from obviously the bottom olives on the tree, the lowest olives, and they wouldn't crush them, but rather Otno. They would leave them in a chamber in the olive press called the Ma'atan Bebeis Habad. It was in the olive press Ad Sheilaka, and they would leave it there as these olives are pressed in together in this little compartment until they become very, very soft, and soft enough because these olives never really ripen, so you have to soften them. So they would soften them in this compartment. Umaleu menagvo berosh hagad. And then once they were softened, they were brought to the rooftop to dry them by the sun, because whatever moisture they had was not healthy for the olive oil. So before they get oil from it, they need to dry off whatever moisture it had from that softening process. And then kotesh, then they would crush them, venosi l'tochasal, and they would put them in on the bottom of a basket in order to strain them. Rabbi Yudomer svivas hasal. Once again, Rabbi Yudomer says, not the bottom of a basket, the side of a basket. Zer rishon, and that was the first yield from that third crop. Toin Bakora, and again, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ba'avanim, Tanakama says they would use a beam to then press it, and Rabbi Yehuda says not a beam, but stones. Zesheni, and that was the second yield from the third crop. Chazar V'tachan, they would then grind it in a mill, V'ta'an, and again press it. Zeshlishi, and that was the third yield from the third crop. Harishol the menorah, and once again, the first yield from the third crop was Shemen Zayizach, that you were allowed to use for the menorah. Vashar the menachos, and the rest you were allowed to use for menachos. Parenthetically, on the topic of shemen, there's an interesting Dagal Mervava. Dagal Mervava writes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, he's the author of Nodav Yehuda, that from what he's seen, he hasn't seen people being noheg to use shemen zayis on Pesach. And he says, and he understands why. Because they would crush shemen zayis b'machteshes. They would use some sort of grinder to crush the shemen zayis. And we know that shemen zayis has a din of a dover chor. charif, and if they use that same machteshes for chametz throughout the year, so it's a problem of the blios of chametz. Everything's cold. Yeah, but a davar charif is able to be boleya, even something that's cold. So he says that's probably why the minhag developed that we don't use shemen zayis on Pesach. So the Chida writes that that it's meforsim that the shemen that they would make in the Beis Abad, they would the shemen zayis that they would produce is produced in the Beis Abad, and that was it. That Beis Abad only handles shemen. It doesn't handle chametz. It doesn't handle anything else. When it says in our sugya there were kodesh b'machteshes, that's shemen that they would use for the menorah and for the menachos. But shemen that we use is all it's a designated facility to produce shemen. It's an olive press, so you don't have any chametz concerns. The shaila people always ask me, can they buy fruit from the local fruit stores? Cut up fruit on Pesach. Same as the rest of the year, they're only using these knives. It's a fruit store, so they cut fruits. That's all they do with it. If you know that it's a designated facility, that's all they do. That Costco gets their salmon from a place that only does salmon. That's a salmon grower. That's all they do. So then you don't have to worry about it. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in Shelus Yaivitz that he never heard of such a minhag that people don't use shemen zayis. I think one of my daughters-in-law was looking at the OU list recently of which olive oils were good for Pesach, and this was like 12 pages long. There's lots of olive oils apparently that people use for Pesach. In the Tshuvas Beis Sharim, he quotes a letter from the Yismach Moshe, who was asked whether you're allowed to use shemen that's made from garine prachim, from the seeds of flowers, on Pesach, and he says that really Beikar Adavar it's motzer because it's not kitnius, but he says he's not happy with it because maybe you're gonna confuse it with other shmanim, shemen zayis and shemen of kitnius, and that you're for sure not allowed to eat. He says, like the Dagum Ravava says, that you're not allowed to have shemen zayis because of the machteshes. So it's wild. No, there was such a practice of the Mishabura, lemais and Mishabura paskins in Hilchos Pesach that in Zmetafnum Gimel, that if you know that the shemen was crushed in a kli that they soaked chametz in, so then for sure it has tam chametz because shemen is a davar charif, and yidei the dochak of the machteshes, it will take the tam from that. And he quotes in the Sharetzin from the Dagum Ravava that you have to be choshesh. However, the Machzah Shekel says that shemen that we bring mimedinos rechokos that they import is obviously from a designated Beis Abad, and any shemen that's from a designated Beis Abad that you don't have to worry about. Okay, so says Gemara now, Ibayilu, we said in the Mishnah that the first time they would be malakit zaysim, they were megargaro barosh hazayis. So megargaro tanan or megalgalo tanan? What's the word of the Mishnah? Is it megargaro that they would pick one olive here, one olive there? They don't all ripen at the same time, so they would pick one or megalgalo tanan or megalgalo. They would wait till all of them ripened, and then they would pick that whole crop, meaning the whole top part of the tree. So tashma ditanya, we have a brisa that describes that when it says by the menorah, shemen zayis, that you need shemen zayis zach, kasis lamar, lalas ner tamid. So we learn mizeso, that it has to be mizeso, that it has to be fully ripened, and while it was still in the zayis, and not only, and shouldn't be a zayis that needs to be pressed in order to get the shemen out of it. So mikan amru, zayis rishon, from here we see that the first time there would be malakit zaysim, megalgalo, Barosh Hazayis. They would wait for it to fully ripen and develop all of its oil inside the pre while it was still on the Rosh Hazayis. So like the second sad, that they wouldn't pick it one by one, they'd wait for all of it. V'konsa l'beis habad, v'tochna b'rechayim, they would bring it into the Beis Habad, they would grind it up with a mill, v'nosna b'salin, and they would put it into baskets, shemen yotzi mimenu zeh haya rishon. And the first the oil that would come out of it, that was the rishon, ta'an bakorah, they would then press it with a beam, and that was the sheni. And then they would go and they would take off the beam and grind it up again, and then put it again under the beam, and that was the shlishi. Harishal the menorah, v'ashar the menachos. The first yield was for the menorah, the rest for the menachos. V'chein zayis sheni, and they would do the same thing with the second crop. V'zayis shlishi, and with the third crop. Otno b'beis habad, but they did. I'm sorry. V'chein zayin sheni, they do the second crop the same as they did with the first. V'zayin shlishi, but when it came to the third crop, they wouldn't crush it right away, but rather otno bebeis habad, they would leave it in the ma'atan, in that compartment, in that chamber, in the beis habad, ad she'ilaka, until it would really soften. U'malu l'rosh hagag, and then they'd bring it up to the roof. V'oso so kamin tamara, and they would make a wide pile that's wide at the bottom and comes narrow at the top to dry them out. Actually, zovu meimav, until the moisture flowed from them. The kotso lebeis habad v'tochno berechayim. Then they brought it back into the beis habad and they would crush it. V'noslem besalim, they would put it in baskets. Shemini yosim menazaya rishon, and the shem that would come out of it was the rishon of the third crop. Ta'an bakora, they would then put a beam over it to crush it, to press it. Shemini yosim menazaya sheni, and that oil that came out then was the sheni. And parak v'chazer v'tachan v'ta'an, then they would take off the beam and then again grind it up and then put it again under a beam zaya shlishi, and that was the third yield. So rishon the menorah v'ashar l'menachos, and again the first yield in each crop was for the menorah and the rest was for the menachos. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the brisa is just going through the whole thing. We already got what we needed out of this brisa, meaning what we needed out of this brisa was that they would wait for all of them to ripen before they would pick off the top olives from the tree. But it just repeats the whole story all over again. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yitochnu b'rechayim el kotshu b'machteshes, he said they wouldn't use a rechayim, they would use a machteshes instead to crush it. V'lo yitoyin b'kore el b'avanim, they wouldn't use a beam, they would use stones that are less heavy. V'lo yinosim b'sal el l'toch svivas asal, they wouldn't put it on the bottom of the basket to just strain through, they would put it on the walls of the basket, on the sides of the basket, in order to remove the shmarim before the straining happened. So from the fact that it said in the braisa, zayis rishon megalgal lo b'rosh hazayis, we see, like the second son of the safek, that was megalgal lo b'rosh hazayis, that the first time they'd be malakate to the zesim from the trees, they would leave it there until they were fully ripened, and only then they would be malakate the whole set of zesim from the top of the tree. So now the Gemara asks that according to this machlokas in the Braisa, it comes out against the Mishnah. Hagufa kasha, kotesh mani Rabbi Yehudahi, tochasal asal rabbanan. That we have, it's sosur itself, that it says they wouldn't be tochein the zayis when they would take the shemen rishon out of it, rather they would be kotesh. And that's Rabbi Yehuda who says in the Braisa, lo yatochna brechayim el kotshim machtashas. Meaning the Braisa added details that paint a picture for us, a fuller picture of Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So now when we try to read that back into the Mishnah, we're going to find that our Mishnah is a stira. Because at first, the Mishnah said kotesh, but according to the Braisa, only Rabbi Yehuda held lo yatochno berechayim elakocho. Rabbi Yehuda would say that they were kotesh rather than tochein in a rechayim. So that's against the Tanakama. But then it says tochasal, you put it on the bottom of the basket. Well, that's asal n'rabanan. That goes like the Rabbanan. So it says more haitana, the Tana that authored our Mishnah, must hold like Rabbi Yehuda about one matter, about the fact that the first Shemen was kocho rather than tochno, but he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda in terms of the placement in the basket. He, the Tana of our Mishnah, holds that you put it in the bottom of the basket, not on the walls of the basket. Now we move on to the next Mishnah. Now that we know that there were three crops that each had three yields of Shemen, harishon shabarishon ein lemalei menu. So the aleph, the best of the best, is the first yield from the first crop. Hasheni shabrishon, varishon shabasheni, the second yield of the first crop, or the first yield of the second crop, shavin. They were of equal quality. The Gemara is going to deal with the fact that maybe of equal quality, but harishon shabasheni, you were allowed to use for the menorah. Sheni shabrishon, you were not allowed to use for the menorah. So in what way are they shavin? They're not halachically shavin. Hashlishi shabrishon, the third yield of the first crop, vasheni shabasheni, and the second yield of the second crop, varishon shabashlishi, and the first yield of the third crop, shavin. They're also equal, meaning it's a numbers game. So if they all equal the same number, you know, if the number one of the third, you know, or number three of the one, so it's four. Number two of the two is also four. So that's all equal. Hashlishi shabasheni, the third yield of the second crop, vasheni shabashlishi, and the second yield of the third crop, shavin. They're also equal. Hashlishi shabashlishi, and the matei menu, and the third yield of the third crop is the lowest quality. So afkala menachos hayubadin sheyitin shemen zayizach. The truth is, says the Mishnah, it would make the most sense if menachos also required shemen zayis zach, the same way the menorah requires shemen zayis zach. Ma menorah she'ina la'achila tu'una shemen zayis zach. If the menorah, which is not, we don't eat that oil, and nevertheless it requires shemen zayis zach, so menachos she'in la'achila, menachos which are meant to be eaten, it's achilas mizbeach, but it's achilas mizbeach is also called an achila, so it's meant to, for some level of achila, enodin she'itanu, all the more so you would think it would need high quality oil like the menorah. So Tamalomer, that's why the pasuk says zach kasis lamaor. Ve'in kasis lamenachos. It says that you need zach kasis lamaor. Lamaor is extra because it could have said zach kasis lalos ner tamid. So what's lamaor telling me? The lamaor is for the hadlakas menorah. That's where you need shemen zayizach, the first shemen that comes out of the olive, and you don't need zach for menachos. The Ad Malachi raises the question, why are we assuming that had the pasuk not said the ma'or, we would learn from a kal v'chomer that you need shemen zayizach for menachos as well? There is a rule about kal v'chomers that the Gemara in Pesachim says that a kal v'chomer that's tchilasa lahachmir and sofa lahakel is not a kal v'chomer. Meaning a kal v'chomer can work if it's coming to teach me a chumrah. But if it's coming to teach me a chumrah which is going to end up in a kula, then it's an invalid kal v'chomer. And l'chora, over here, what do we want to learn from this kal v'chomer? That you need shemen zayizach for menachos as well. And therefore, what would you do if you cannot find shemen zayizach and your chayv mincha? You simply won't bring a karban, because you will have used this kal v'chomer to teach me that the karban is going to be pasul anyway. That's sofa lahakel, if you're going to end up not bringing the karban. So, and the Adavid just adds to the kasha that by a minchas yachid, it wouldn't bother me so much, because the minchas yachid, you won't not bring it, you'll just wait until you can secure shemen zayizach. But a minchas hatzibur, which has a zman, it has a time that it's supposed to be brought, so then we're just going to end up not bringing it if we apply this kal v'chomer. So it's a kasha that's we're not going to lose sleep over, because it's a kasha on a hava amina, right? It's a kasha on what I would have thought had it not said amor. So okay, but we don't think that because it does say amor. So lamor. So it's not as big of a problem. Okay, but it says the Gemara now. Shavin v'amrit rishon l'menorah v'ashar l'menachos. How can we say that the first yield of the second crop is the same as the second yield of the first crop? They're not the same. The first yield of all three is ro'i for the menorah. The second yield is not ro'i for the menorah. So Amrav Nachum Yitzchak, my shavin l'menachos. Shavin means that it's shavah as far as bringing it, using it for a karban mincha. Meaning all of them are kosher for a karban mincha, but we try to bring min amuvchar. Try to bring the highest quality that you can for a korban mincha. So when you have the shemen rishon from the second crop, or the second from the first crop, so there's no preference which one to use for the menachos. But you always want to have the higher quality stuff for the menachos. The Rambam, the end of Hilchos Isuri Mizbeach, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud Aleph, says that the reason the Chum said which shemen is better than the other is if someone wants to be mezakes atzmo, to be kofes yetzer hara, and to be not be cheap and to be willing to bring his carbon from the best stuff that he has, he should know what's the best stuff, right? That's what the Rambam writes by the carbon of Hevel that Hevel brought in Parshas Bereishis. Hevel hevi gamhu mi b'choros sonu michal b'yan v'yisha Hashem el Hevel vel min chasov, that because he brought good stuff, so Hashem turned to Hevel's carbon. Hashem appreciated Hevel's carbon. The Rambam at the end of each section of the Rambam, he allows himself to get to wax poetic. So that's what he writes in Luchos Ma'aser Korbanos, at the end of Ma'aser Korbanos, that one should look to try to bring the very best that you can to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Afkal Menachos Hayu Bedin. So the Mishnah had said that really it should have been that all menachos should require Shemen Zayizach, but the pasuk says Lamar to tell me not that way. So Tan Rabban, and the Braisa elaborates that it says by the Hadlakas HaMenorah Zach Ein Zach Ela Naki. It means the first oil that comes out without being pressed by a beam is very clean. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kosis in kosis elokotush. That kosis means that it's crushed. That it's not enough that it be zach from the first shemen that comes out of the zaysim. That shemen also should not be tachon berechayim. It shouldn't be ground in a rechayim. It should be crushed in a machteshas. So Rabbi Yehuda goes on to say that once we're medayik from the pasuk zach kosis, that it has to be shemen lemenorah from the first shemen that comes out of the olives. So I might think, okay, now that I know I need this super high quality shemen for the menorah, maybe it should be possible to use for menachos. So kassis is kosher l'menachos, and shemen zach also that comes out is kosher l'menachos. So im kain ma tamalomer l'ma'or. So then why does the pasuk say that it's only l'ma'or? El me'achisachom. Now what it's telling us is because of the loss of money, the immense loss of money that people who would bring menachos would have if they had to dafka get, if we insisted on zach kasis, so because menachos are so common, there were so many that were brought, so that's why we bring zach kasis dafka lama'or. We only insist on it for the hadakas menorah, that because hadakas menorah, you don't need so much shemen. It's 3.5 lug each and every day, a chatzi lug in each of the candles of the menorah. But for menachos, you need a whole lot of oil, and that would cost a lot of money. Why does the Torah so makbir on the chisaron of the mammon of Klal Yisrael that's going to cost so much money? So because that's the Torah's attitude, that the Torah is chas, that we shouldn't spend too much money, and therefore when it's not ma'akev, the Torah says don't spend so much money if it's not going to be ma'akev, right? The more famous limud of this is Rashi and Chumash tells us v'tziva kohen pinas habayis, that when it comes to nigei batin, that they would clear out the house before the kohen would declare anything about the tzaras status of the house. And the Medrash in the Torah's Kohanim says, well, what was the Torah being chasan? Kli eitz, kli, or kesef, or zahav, that become tameh, you could be mitar them. So what do you mean? Nothing's, it's being chasan, the klei cheres don't have tara, the elam tara el b'shvira. Klei cheres are cheap, and nevertheless, we're still chas on the klei cheres. So, tzavis b'neis, ovi yichu elecha shemen zayzach, amrim shu'o bar nachmani, elecha v'lo li, that the shemen zayzach, to light the menorah, it's for you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not for me. Lo la'ora ani tzarech. I don't need the light of the menorah to illuminate. So the Gemara brings another maimer that shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need the light that we provide. Shulchan batzafon. The shulchan was in the northern part of the Mishkan. Menorah bedarum, and the menorah was in the south. That's why the Gemara Basra says, Harotza lahashir yatzpin, that if you want to get wealthy, so you face the north, because and simenayich shulchan batzafon, because the shulchan represents wealth. Harotza lahachkim yadrim. If a person wants to become wise, they face the south, because the menorah represents the shevachachmos. The menorah represents the Or of Torah. So a person achieves. So menorah is in the darum. So I'm Rabbi Zvika, I'm Rabbi Lazar. Lola achila anitzarich, v'lola ora anitzarich. The placement of the shulchan batzafon and the menorah in the darum demonstrates that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't need our food, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't need our light. He's perfectly fine without it. How does that demonstrate it? So Rashi explains, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed our light, the Noeg Shabbat Olam is you put the menorah near the Shulchan, right? When you light Shabbos candles, you light it on the table, you light it in the room that you're going to eat, because you want light when you're going to be eating. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Shulchan far away from the menorah. One's in the Tzafon, one's in the Darum, because he doesn't need to eat and he doesn't need the light when he's eating. Tosos quotes Yesh Mefarshim that the Hochacha is not about how close they are to one another, but rather it's the fact that neither of them were in the Ma'arav, and the Shechina is in the Ma'arav. So there's Tzafon and Darum and not Ma'arav. That's the demonstration that Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I don't need your food, and that's why I don't have the shulchan where I am. I don't need your light, and that's why I don't have the menorah where I am. But Tosa says that that can't possibly be pshat, because Lashon the Brisa sounds that we're not coming to be mimayit the ma'arav, because on the western, along the western side of things, you always have the north and the south also, meaning that doesn't preclude the ma'arav just by saying that something is in the north and something is in the south. There's something called the northwest, and there's something called southwest. So that's why Tosus rejects that explanation. explanation says that Rashi had the correct explanation. Another pasuk that proves this idea that our Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't need our light. Vayas labayis chalone shkufim atumim. So Tana, this Malachim Aleph where Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdash, so he made these windows that were shkufim atumim. What does that mean, shkufim atumim? So Tana, shkufim, the windows had a narrow side, mibifnim, that were on the inside, va'atumim, and they widened mibachutz. Now normally, if you want to illuminate, you want to spread light, so you go from the narrow to the wide, right? And as it widens, the light will widen. But lo ranitzarach, the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu added that it comes into the Beis HaMikdash, it narrows on its way into the Beis HaMikdash, is to show that Hashem doesn't need, in His Beis HaMikdash, He doesn't need external light. And Adraba, the Beis HaMikdash is what spreads light to the rest of the world. And that's why it widens, the windows widen on the way out of the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. And then another pasuk that demonstrates the same point. Michutz l'parochas ha'edus ba'olam oed. So parochas ha'edus is not that the parochas is there for the edus, but the edus is about the menorah. That edus hu l'chol ba'olam sh'ashchina shora b'Yisrael. That this is edus, that the Shechina is there in Klal Yisrael. Vim tomar, maybe you're going to say that the or of the menorah is not an edus for this. La'ora anitzarech, but rather he needs the or. That all the 40 years in the Midbar, we went with the or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ella edus l'chol ba'olam sh'ashchina shor b'Yisrael. So it's edus that the Shechina is shor b'Yisrael. Now the Tosfos raises the question: why does the Gemara say for 40 years Hashem provided us with light? For all of humanity's existence, Hashem provides us with light. Right? We have a sun that rises every single morning. What is that? 40 years in the Midbar, that was the Chiddush, that Hashem provided us with light. The Rashba, the Chiddushim of Michasim, and the Shittim Gubetzas say that it doesn't mean La'oro, meaning the Ora Shemesh and the Kochavim. It means the Amud Eish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was that where the Kavod HaShechina was Meir. So Klal Yisrael followed that Or. Okay, that's what it means. Now the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chaf Beis has a girsa v'chi la'ora hu tzarich v'lo kol arba'im shana. Tos says that hu is a reference to Aaron HaKohen. Do you think Aaron needed the or of the menorah? The Amud Eish was lit up the way for them. The Anani Kavod were in the zechus of Aaron. So we always had the Amud Eish. He didn't need it. That it was about Aaron HaKohen, not about HaKadosh Baruch Hu not needing that light. But the Rishonim will point out that in our sugya, it's very clear that it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole context of our sugya is that it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's not about Aaron HaKohen. Anyway, my edus. So what is the edus of the menorah? How is it made that the Shechina Shara b'Yisrael? Amarava ze ner ma'aravi. The edus is that ner ma'aravi. Shenosun b'shemen kimitas chavroseha. That they put in enough oil, the same oil that they put in all the other candles, umimena hayamadlik, and they would begin the hadlaka with it, ubahayamasayim, and they would clean out in the morning, that they would clean that ner out last, because all the other neros were already extinguished, and that one stayed lit the longest. So only after they cleaned out all the other neros would the ner ma'aravi finally go out. So even though it had the same amount of oil as the rest, and that was a nace that was done with the menorah, that was made, that the Shechina was Shora b'Yisrael. The Maral Chiddush Agado says that was not, by far, that was not the most impressive nace that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that one the Eidus? So Maral has a whole Mahalich about Eidus means something that's Motzi Davar LePoel, and that's what eyesight is when you're able to see something with clarity, it's Motzi Davar LePoel. So he has a Mahalich in this. There is an alternate version of this in the Medrash Tanchuma that Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim said that he used to work in the Beis HaMikdash and it was Maisa Nisim in the menorah that they would be Madlikan on Rosh Hashanah, and it would never extinguish until the following year, that the whole year it would stay lit. Very different. Our Gemara is saying it went out, it just went out last in the Medrash Tanchuma. It never went out. The whole year it stayed lit. So they tell that one time Reb Chaim met with the Imre Emes, and Reb Chaim asked the Imre Emes about this Medrash, that there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah every day of Hadlakas HaMenorah. How can you fulfill the mitzvah if it stayed lit the whole year? And the Imre Emes says, yeah, it stayed lit the whole year, but they must have added a tipa of shemen every day. Because even adding shemen is also ma'aseh hadlaka. It's a chiddush la'halacha to say like that, right? The poskim discuss, what if you have a yontif going into Shabbos, and you keep candles lit, you have a yahrzeit candle that's lit the whole time. Can you be yotzei neiru Shabbos by just adding a little shemen into the, can you make a bracha of lahadlik neir shel Shabbos with such a thing? But that's what he suggests, that's considered to be a ma'aseh hadlaka as far as the mitzvah of hadlakas ha-menorah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah. Everyone should have a good yontif.